The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9.
Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you.
Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment.
And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, just above Alto Forno Restaurant on 41 Cross Street, and of course, just across the street from the North Shore Mall. We have been providing financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families all throughout the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, the southern New Hampshire area since 1968. Yeah, what's kind of interesting is that 90% of our clients, and there's 450 households that we serve, 90% of them either live or had roots within this general area. So we've really instilled ourselves into the community, providing financial planning advice to individuals and families all throughout the area. And, you know, financial planning is so much more than just picking an investment. It drives me nuts when I see so many investment professionals popping up with their name on their business card that I'm an investment advisor, I'm an investment professional, and they provide you what they think is better investment advice than somebody else. Folks, here's the truth. Here's financial advice in a language you can understand. Picking investments isn't hard. They spend a lot of money on CNBC paying a lot of smart people to make you believe that you need to buy and you need to sell and you need to make changes and you need to know about the trends in the economy and what's happening this month and why attacks overseas have an impact on your money or why the price of gas going up has an impact on your future. Folks, those are all short-term events. When we're talking about investing, when we're talking about financial planning, we're talking about thinking for the future and not worrying about what people refer to as the waves in the ocean. Think about this. If you were to stare at the waves in the ocean while you're sitting on a boat, you'd get pretty seasick, wouldn't you? But if you look out towards the horizon, you look far out there, that's a lot smoother. That's where you're going. You're not going into every single wave that you have to see. You have to look beyond that. Before I was in this business, and I've been doing this almost 29 years now as at Friedman Financial, before this, I used to be in the restaurant business, and there was a restaurant called The Ship Restaurant in Linfield. I think many of you who were listening to the show remember that. It's now a Christmas tree shop. Actually, The Ship Restaurant, believe it or not, back in the 1920s, 1930s, actually was a tugboat. That's right. It was actually in the shape of a tugboat, and then it grew into the tall ship. And there used to be pictures that were all along the galleyways you walked into the restaurant that showed the evolution of the boat. But one of the things that I learned as a waiter is people would order drinks, and oftentimes the most popular drink these days are martinis. Everybody wants martinis. And there's always this worry that as I'm walking with a martini, you're going to spill it because it's just flat and it's almost oftentimes filled right to the top of the glass. Well, one of the ways to avoid spilling drinks when you're carrying them on a tray as a waiter is to stop looking at the drinks. Just like stop looking at the waves in the ocean, if you look towards the destination you're getting to, rather than staring at the tray with your drinks on it, you will have far more success in a better delivery of product. And that's what financial planning and investment planning is all about, too. We need to look beyond the little hills and valleys along the way because sometimes we won't even see them. We have to look towards the future. We have to plan for that because if we keep looking for a little step on the way, a little diversion along the way, it will drive us crazy. one of the things that people are realizing is they're getting their statements this week and next week for the year. You're probably getting your year-end statement from 2019. You're seeing some significant increases in the value of your accounts. The markets were very good. In fact, I have a report here, which is the end of the year report for stocks over the course of this past year. The S&P 500 for the year finished up 31.49% based on this report that I received from LPL Research. It's their market barometer dated 12/31/2019. The S&P 500 finished up 31.49%. Is that what you were counting on when you walked into January 1st of 2019? In fact, many people were actually out of the market. You know why? Because the 3 months prior, the October, the November, and the December of 2018 were pretty rocky. In fact, the market almost dropped 20% in the last 3 months of the year. So those that were trying to do this on their own, those that were trying to outsmart and figure out, maybe if I get out, I'll know when to get back in. You missed out on a lot of the return of the market because starting January 1st, actually it was starting December 26th because the low point in 2018 was Christmas Eve. Right after that, the market turned around and it went up rather dramatically in the first couple months. And then it continued to do that for the rest of the year. Sure, we had a few little hills and valleys along the way, but we look out towards the year. It was great. In fact, what if we look out 3 years? How did the S&P 500 do over the past 3 years? How's this sound? 15.23%. 15.23% was the average rate of return over the past 3 years for the S&P 500. Now, is everybody investing in the S&P 500? No. Would I encourage you to invest 100% of your money in the S&P 500? No. If you were to ask me, Mark, what is your outlook for the S&P 500 for the upcoming year, for the next 3 years, 5 years, 10 years? I would tell you historically, it's going to be somewhere between 7 and 9%. You got 15 over the past 3 years. So what does that tell you? Are we going to revert back to the mean? Does that mean, are we going to have some years when the markets are less than 7 to 9%? Probably. But are you investing for the next 2 years or the next 3 years? Or are you investing for a longer period of time? When you're investing properly, you want to have your money spread out into several different buckets and different styles of investment. The S&P 500 is what you'll hear about. You'll hear about how great it was. But what's interesting, last year, do you know what really led the S&P 500? It was mostly driven by a few stocks. S&P 500 makes up 500 stocks, but it was generally driven by a few. Some might surprise you, some might not. Certainly Apple was certainly a big part of that. Amazon was a big part of that. But you know another company, we talk about the FANG stocks, Facebook, Apple and Amazon, Netflix and Google. There's a stock that isn't mentioned there that's really, really, really big, but isn't part of the FANG group, but it was probably one of the best performing stocks last year. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a great performing stock next year or the year thereafter, but it really contributed to the success of the S&P 500. And that stock, believe it or not, was Microsoft. And when you think about Microsoft, how many of your kids are using Microsoft-related products these days? They're all texting on their phones. They're using a Google product. They're using an Apple product. In fact, many of our kids, I'm finding my own kids, don't even understand how to use a laptop. Why would I use a laptop, Dad? I can do it all on my phone. Well, you know, there's limited functionality that you have for a lot of things on your phone. Well, they need to fix that, Dad, because if it doesn't work on an app, what's the point? Well, there's more to it than that. And Microsoft has really done very well this past year, really making an impact. Look, if you watch the NFL games, I mean, what's everybody holding? They're holding a Surface Book or some type of a Microsoft product. You're seeing the Microsoft products everywhere. Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Publisher. These are critical parts of the way the real world works. Will they be the leader 3 years, 5 years, 10 years down the road? I don't know. I have no idea. But I do know this, that basing on trying to figure out an investment strategy that says the S&P 500 is where I want to be for my investment strategy, that's a dangerous approach, folks. You need to have your money spread around. In fact, as I look here of what the markets did, if we break up the S&P 500, it's made up of 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11 different sectors. They might be communications, consumer discretionary, energy, financials, healthcare, and so forth. Over the past year, many of these sectors performed at the level of 20%. Some of them were up 11%. Some were up 50%. Guess the sector that was up 50% last year? Well, that was information technology. That's where you're going to find your Googles and your Amazons and your Apples and all of that. But the one that was up 11%, and I think most people would be very happy with an 11% return, those were your energy stocks. Your energy stocks. You got to have a mix, folks. You got to have a mix of both of value and growth. Big companies, small companies, mid-sized companies. And there's one area that people continue to dismiss because it hasn't performed well over the past couple of years. Not bad, but it hasn't performed as well as the domestic stocks, and that's the international world. The international world last year, large cap foreign, you probably don't even realize this, finished up 22% for the year. Small cap foreign finished up 25% for the year, and emerging markets 18% for the year. I still think that area, that's the place where you're going to see your greatest upside potential. The opportunities that exist in India, in China, in Brazil, in places all around the world are tremendous, absolutely tremendous. Most people don't realize it because you've never been there. We're so stuck in our own little communities. Maybe we travel to Los Angeles or to Florida or to a few other places here, or maybe the Caribbean or Canada, and that's how we get out of the country. Or maybe we just go to the traditional places like Ireland or London or Paris. But folks, go to some of these other countries. Travel outside of the general area that you go to, and man, you are going to see development like you've never seen, upside potential like you've never seen. You need to have a portfolio that is reflective of what the world will be, not what the world was. That's some food for thought for you in this first segment of our show. It's called Dollars and Cents, where we provide financial advice in a language you can understand. We've got to take a quick break. When we get back, I want to talk to you a little bit more about this Secure Act. People are talking about it. People are worried about the Secure Act. They're wondering, how is it going to impact me? I want to tell you about that. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Planning for retirement and managing your investments has never been more difficult. Chances are you're trying, but worried you may make a misstep. Friedman Financial is all about getting your financial house in order and providing financial advice in a language you can understand. Their interactive software and in-person conversations will help you determine if you're on track. For more than 50 years, Friedman Financial has delivered independent advice. If now's the time to get serious about life and retirement, visit Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
If I had $1 million.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, where we've been providing financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families all throughout the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the southern New Hampshire area since 1968. If now's the time for you to get serious about your financial planning, about your retirement planning, I'd love the opportunity to meet with you. Our phone number at the office is 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or you can find us on our website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page of our website. You'll see an opportunity to put in your name, your email address, and you'll sign up for our free weekly newsletter. It's called Planning Pointers. It comes out each and every Friday at 10:30 in the morning, lands right in your inbox. We've been doing this since March of 2009. So more than 10 years. Let's see, 10 times 52 weeks a year. That's over 520 weeks of publications. We're probably more than like 600 at this point that we've done of consistent publications. We write it. This is not one of these farmed out newsletters that we just buy from some service. No, we write it ourselves. We put it together every single week for your reading enjoyment. It is not difficult to read at all. It is what I call financial advice in a language you can understand. There's three stories generally. Each of those stories, usually no more than 100 to 150 words in each story. Then you can click on the link below if you want to learn a little bit more. But the initial part gives you enough information to say, huh, that's kind of interesting, or nah, not interested, and you move on. We have more than 7,000 subscribers to our newsletter. It has been a great source of referral for our firm. It's a great way for you to stay in touch of what's going on at the office. Many of the things I talk about here on the radio, here on Dollars and Cents, are part of what we put in the newsletter each and every Friday morning at 10:30. So if you like Planning Pointers, if you want to get it, go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page, put in your name and your email address. That's it. And by the way, I'm not going to bug you. I'm not going to call you. Don't think that, oh, because I signed up and I'm now going to start getting solicited by all the people at Friedman Financial. First of all the people at Friedman Financial are five people. That's it. And we're not going to call you. We're plenty busy. We don't need to call you. We want you to call us or reach out to us when the time is right for you to get serious about your financial planning. One of the reasons many people are calling us today and have been reaching out to us just after the first of the year is because of this new law that's been put into play called the Secure Act. The Secure Act is an acronym for Setting Every Community Up for Retirement Enhancement. I think the acronym is a bit misleading because the law falls into three particular areas. Let me tell you about what those three things are, and you tell me what might be of interest to you. Number one, it's designed to help reduce the costs associated with setting up retirement plans for small employers. So unless you're a small business owner, doesn't apply to you, really. Number two, it creates increased access to lifetime income options or annuities inside your retirement accounts. What that means is that at some point in the future, when it's time to retire, you'll have an option when you leave the company, rather than rolling the money out into an IRA rollover, you'll have the opportunity to take that money and turn it into a pension if you want. But I will tell you this, in order for it to be a pension of any type of value or significance, you need to have been with the company for a long period of time. So to see whether this is going to work, that's going to be a bit of a challenge. The reason being is that we have to see what the pension world, what the payout worlds of everything in pensions look like 5 years, 10 years, probably 20 or 30 years. So I don't know how much this new law is really going to impact people today. But the third law, this is one, the third part of the law, this is the one that's going to impact you. And it's going to be significant. The Secure Act made major required minimum distribution rule changes around retirement accounts. And that's what I'd want to talk to you about today. So there are three major changes to the required minimum distribution rules in retirement plans. Number one is the fact that effective immediately, when you turn 70 and a half this year or moving forward, you no longer have to have this trigger in your head that says, I need to take money out of my IRA. You don't need to anymore. We've pushed the age to 72. Where 70 and a half ever came from, I don't know. But it's been like that for a very long time. So now, if you are 75 years old today and you had been taking money out because you were required to take a minimum distribution from your IRA, yeah, you got to keep taking your required minimum distribution. But if you turned 70 and a half this year, you don't. You don't have to take it. You can wait until the year in which you turn 72. So it pushes it all out a little bit. Some people are going to say, Mark, no big deal to me. I need the money. I was planning on taking it. I've been taking money out before I was 70 and a half. But there are others who have planned in, I don't want to say appropriately, they've planned differently so that they said, I don't want to have to take my money from my retirement account because I know that when I pull money out of my IRA, it's all taxable to me. So maybe I had other plans as to when to take it out. And so if I don't have to take money from my IRA, I just saved myself some tax money. If that's you, great, congratulations. Let's make sure that you're planning it properly. So a lot of people are coming to us and saying, well, if I took money from my personal investment accounts or my trust account or my bank account or whatever it might have been, does that make more sense than having to take what was supposed to be my required minimum distribution from my IRA? Perhaps. Let us run the scenario. You see, one of the things that we do at Friedman Financial goes far beyond just picking investments. Yeah, we manage a lot of money for people. We manage close to $450 million for our 450 households. It's a lot of money. But frankly, admittedly, it's almost the easiest part of what we do. What's really important is helping our clients figure out the best way to grab their money, to use their money, to support themselves in retirement when the paycheck stops. You see, when the paycheck stops, you're going to get perhaps a Social Security check. Maybe you'll even get a pension check. But beyond that, you're going to say, I need more. So you're going to do one of two things. You're either going to go back to work, work part-time, work full-time, do something you want to do, or you're going to start drawing money from your investment accounts. But if you have retirement accounts, if you have a personal investment accounts, you have bank accounts, you might have an annuity, you might have all different types, cash value of life insurance, you could have a lot of different things. Maybe you have equity in your home. Where is the best place to take money from a tax standpoint? Because, well, it's still our responsibility to pay taxes. It's still okay to be patriotic and not pay any more taxes than you need to. Let us help you figure out the best way to draw money from your investments so that you take it out in a tax-smart manner and allow you to continue to defer more money as you can. Well, that creates probably the second problem, though, that comes from this SECURE Act as it relates to retirement plans. Many of us say, well, my retirement, my IRA, whatever it is, and many people, for many, your retirement account, your IRA, is the largest asset you own. Because probably for 20, 30, 40 years, you were trained to put money into your 401k. Because it was the easiest way to do it. You did it on a pre-tax basis. You allowed money to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. Or perhaps you put money into a simple IRA or a SEP IRA or a regular IRA, and you allowed that money to grow and grow and grow, not having to pay any taxes on the money until you took it out. But at some point, at your required minimum distribution date, you'd have to start taking some money out. But also, when you died, your children could receive this money and stretch out the money that was in that IRA by only taking what's called the required minimum distribution. Well, unfortunately, that rule has changed, and it changed on January 1st. So anybody that dies after January 1st, which means now and in the future, the rules are a little different. Now, any IRA that you inherit, unless you are the spouse of the individual, you are a relative, or you are a beneficiary that's within 10 years of the age of the person that died, if you're a minor child, or if you're disabled, if you're none of those people as the beneficiary, you have the responsibility to take money from that IRA over 10 years. Now, you can wait and not take any of it until year 10. You can spread it out over 10 years. You can take it out in individual installments. You can take it out in whatever intervals you want. But on the 10-year anniversary, that account has to be liquidated, and it's fully taxable. So if you just inherited, let's say, a $300,000 IRA, if you cashed it out today, you'd have $300,000 in additional income added to your total income for your taxes. You could take it out $30,000, let's say, over the next 10 years, assuming the account didn't grow. But before January 1st, you only had to take out the minimum distribution that was necessary, which might have been only 2 or 3 or 4% of the account. You see, folks, the government wants their money. They want to get their money quicker. And it's going to be a challenge. I worry about that because I see people having intentions of leaving money for their children to stretch it out over a number of years so that they can say, I want my kids to be taken care of for the rest of their life. You may not be able to do that with your IRA anymore. It's going to be up to them to receive the money and then have to figure out how to manage that money. So we want to be a little bit more thoughtful with the conversations we have with our children. You want to be sure you're more thoughtful in the way that you're doing your planning. You want to make sure that you're naming the right beneficiaries for what you truly want to do. You have to really think through the implications. Maybe it makes sense, and I'm just throwing this out as an idea. Maybe it makes sense, instead of just naming your son as the beneficiary, name your son for 50% of the money and your three grandchildren for the remaining 50%. Because remember, their tax bracket might be different from your son's tax bracket. You might be able to get more money out of the IRA over those 10-year periods of time. Here's another thing that someone says, well, why don't I just leave it to my minor child? Because, Mark, you just said there was an exception there. If you left the money to a minor child, you wouldn't have to take it out over 10 years. Well, here's how the rule works. Let's say you're a grandfather. You have $500,000 in your IRA, and you say, well, my son's well taken care of, and my daughter's well taken care of. I want to leave it to my granddaughter. I want to leave $500,000 in my IRA to my granddaughter, and she's six. Well, granddaughter receives the money at age six. Now, of course, mom or dad or someone will serve as custodian for that money, and your granddaughter only needs to take a distribution equal to what's called the minimum required distribution based upon her life expectancy, which is a pretty small number. So maybe she has to take out, let's say, 1%. I'm using that purely as a number for you to just kind of live with here. She has to take $5,000 out to use for her benefit or however she wants. Fine. No big deal. So 6 years old, 7 years old, 8 years old, all that continues, have to take out that small amount. But when she reaches age 21, and hopefully because you've only taken out a small amount, that $500,000 can be worth now $1 million. At age 21, the 10-year clock starts because she's now of majority age. How is she going to manage that? Is that going to help her qualify for financial aid? Doubt it. Not with that kind of money being left to her. But we have to think through all of the implications. See, the third part of this rule that challenges me are the people that have left an IRA to a trust account. If you've named a trust as your IRA, the trust document oftentimes says that the beneficiary is entitled to the required minimum distribution every year, and that's all. And that was really designed for you to say, I want the trust to be able to continue to manage the money on behalf of my child because I don't want them to be a spendthrift. I don't want them to waste the money. I want them to get a little bit of money, but that's all. Well, the required minimum distribution rules just went away for non-spouse beneficiaries, which a trust is one of those. It doesn't name required minimum distributions. The only rule is that it says is you must take money out within 10 years. And the only required distribution, based upon the wording right now, the required distribution would have to happen in year 10. So let's say you leave money to a trust for the benefit of your child. And it was your hope to leave money so that they would get money every year. But if there are no required minimum distribution rules anymore, your child might be frozen out of that money for 10 years and then may have to take the whole thing all at once. This is a challenge that lawyers are facing right now. They know they have to rework some estate planning documents. I think you need to revisit to say, is the trust really is leaving an IRA in a trust the approach that I want to take? You got to think about that. We can help you talk through all of the options. We want to make sure that you're doing something that makes sense. Financial planning goes far beyond picking the right investments for your portfolio. Yeah, you want to have the right risk-reward structure for what you're trying to do, but all of those other ancillary ideas, all of those other pieces of advice that you need, that's what really drives your financial planning decisions. And it's tough to make those decisions on your own. We can help. We continue to do that right here on North Shore 104.9 with Dollars and Cents each and every Sunday morning. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
North Shore Music Theater is turning 65 and celebrating with another extraordinary season of musicals. The 2020 subscription season kicks off in June with Thoroughly Modern Millie. The high-octane, Tony-winning musical filled with flappers, tappers, and a roaring good time. Then get ready to be swept up in our magical family production of Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella. It's possible. This will be followed by Buddy, the Buddy Holly story. And the hysterical sci-fi camp classic, Little Shop of Horrors. The musical season will end with the Tony Award-winning feel-good musical, Kinky Boots. Become a five-show subscriber today and save up to 45%. The 2020 season will also feature the special springtime return of Mamma Mia. For discount subscription packages and ticket information, visit us online at nsmt.org.
This is Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial with important information concerning your retirement. In a rare showing of bipartisanship, Congress signed the SECURE Act into law. It revamps the rules around required minimum distributions from retirement accounts, and it changes the way non-spouse beneficiaries can inherit your retirement funds. If you've named a trust as your IRA's beneficiary, or if you're approaching retirement and planning to take a required minimum distribution, you may need to rethink your strategy. At Friedman Financial, we understand the new rules, and we're here to provide you with financial advice in a language you can understand. Give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108, and schedule your free initial consultation.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, just above the fabulous Alto Forno restaurant on 41 Cross Street, and right across the street from the North Shore Mall, where I see that there is a new sign that's going up, which might be suggesting another new retail or shop that's going in there. It looks like we're going to get some kind of a bowling alley. So someone said it might be called Pins. I saw a word called Strike Up. I don't know what that's all about, but I'm sure it's something to compete with what Kings does over at Linfield Marketplace. So that's coming along. I saw that the pool is in. Well, actually, they've dug the hole over where Lifetime Fitness is. These pools are huge. If you drive by the mall, you'll see these giant, giant gunite pools that have been dug out in the parking lot. You know, they got to put the pool in before, I guess, they put the walls up. It's a lot easier to do that. I'm going to assume it's an indoor pool, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we're swimming in February. I don't know. Someone told me that Lifetime Fitness across the street will open sometime around Christmas of next year. But we'll see. Who knows? Who knows? These things all come and go, and, you know, the planning for a lot of these construction projects, you never know. Weather has an impact. Who knows what will happen. But it is exciting to see the changes that are going over. There's a new entranceway over at the North Shore Mall. More of the restaurants have started to open up. There's actually more parking that you can get to. And I get the bird's eye view of seeing everything that's going on through our offices on 41 Cross Street. We're a couple weeks into the new year. It is 2020. Time to, of course, put everything in focus. I mean, how many times are you going to hear that this year? But there was an interesting story that I saw, what I call financial advice in a language you can understand, about one of the challenges that 2020 might bring to all of us. So think about this. When you sign your checks, when you sign your documents, when you sign contracts, when you sign anything, you usually put down, you know, if the date was May 1st, 2019, you'd put 5/1/19. Think about this. If you put 5/1/20, is that confirming that you really signed it in 2020? Couldn't anybody put 5/1/20 and then put on 1/7 or 2/5 or 5/6 afterwards? In order to make your documents legal, in order to make sure that you can feel confident that no one's going to question the year in which you signed your document, I'd encourage you to be diligent about putting four digits for the year on your checks, when you sign things, when you sign your name, when you sign your pay stubs, when you sign contracts, everything. Because anybody could go in and do a little switcheroo and just add a 1/7 or a 2/4 after that 2/0. You want to make sure that you're making it clear that this year you signed your document in 2020. I call that financial advice in a language you can understand. Those little tidbits, those are things that I share each week on our in our newsletter. It's called Planning Pointers. It comes out each and every Friday at 10:30 in the morning. All you need to do is go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page. You'll have an opportunity to put in your name, your email address. If you want to send me a message, you can send me a message. If you want to schedule an initial consultation, you can do that. If you just have a particular question, something that's come up, conversation that you had around the dinner table, something you discussed at Christmas, something you just wondered about, you heard some crazy thought on the radio, you just want to ask it to me, dump it in the comment box. I promise you, when you hit send, I get that email probably within 10 minutes from the time you hit that button. you're automatically getting a notice to, with the message that you send, a notice automatically goes to Jody. She will register you for your newsletter. But if there's a comment in there, it comes to me. And I'm generally pretty good at responding pretty quickly. I'm a little obsessed with checking my email and checking my notes. The kids aren't too crazy about me doing that, but actually, I shouldn't say that. The kids don't care. My wife's the one that's not too crazy about me checking it. My kids are on the phone far more than I am, but it's become an obsession. We've all become somewhat obsessed with our phones. It's unfortunate. You know, I see people at the beginning of the year said, this is the year I'm taking a break from Facebook. I'm going off the grid. I'm not going to use that. And I would love to be able to do that. And I know I can, but I don't know if it's this thing called FOMO, another term, maybe you haven't heard this. FOMO is fear of missing out. But I also like to know what's going on in the world. And it seems to me that everything that I do through my phone or through my mobile device connects back to Facebook some way, shape, or form. And I was in New York this past week with my two boys. We saw Beetlejuice on Broadway in New York, which is a great show. If you haven't seen it, go see it because it's closing end of June. Not because it's failing. It's actually selling out every night. But Hugh Jackman signed a contract at the Winter Garden Theater in Boston, in New York, to do Music Man starting in September. So Beetlejuice is getting kicked out of the theater. It's unfortunate because it's doing tremendously well. But if you have a chance to go to New York, go check out Beetlejuice. Anyways, so I'm sitting in Beetlejuice with my son before the show, and I'm typing something, you know, that we were here, as I'm typing it into Facebook. And Corey turns to me and he says to me, Dad, you know, I see you looking at Facebook all the time. You're checking your Facebook, your news feed. You're checking things on Facebook. He says, I don't get it. I never go to Facebook. I don't post anything on Facebook. I do everything on Instagram. And you do nothing on Instagram. So I remember years ago, it used to be, we used to say to our kids, I need to be your friend on Facebook, because so I can follow what's going on. I can understand what's happening. If you haven't figured this out yet, and I figured this out a few years ago, if you haven't figured it out, your kids will happily give you all of their access to Facebook because, frankly, they're not using it. Now, they may be a little reluctant to share their Finsta page on Instagram. Finsta? Mark, what do you mean Finsta? Oh, there's Rinsta and there's Finsta. You got to get the terms right. You see, everyone's got an Instagram page. So a Rinsta is their real Instagram page that they don't mind posting stuff up that anybody could see. Sure, Mom and Dad, you can connect with me through my Rinsta, they won't call it the Rinsta, through my Instagram page. The Finsta, which is what's called a fake Instagram page, is an Instagram page that's designed for more private use that they only want to share with their friends. That's the stuff when you see them being ridiculous, partying, doing things that Mom and Dad would not be proud of seeing, what they're wearing, how they're handling situations, whatever it is. And as much as we might want to protect them from that, they still get shared out, and perhaps you'll see them. Or having a Finsta is not something that I encourage my children to have, though they are 23 and 21 and 19 and 18 and 16, and it's kind of hard. So you want to try to build that trusting relationship. Anyways, we're here each and every Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m., providing you with what I call financial advice in a language you can understand. Sometimes I give a little family advice. Sometimes it's financial advice. Sometimes it's food advice. Sometimes it's theater reviews. It can be a little bit of everything. Because look, we spend money. We all spend money. And no matter how much we make, we always think, wouldn't it be great if we made a little bit more? Or we sometimes say, man, that is awfully expensive. While other people might think, man, that was super cheap. It's up to us to figure out what the right lifestyle is for us. One of the number one questions people ask me all the time when they come into our office is, Mark, one of the reasons I want to come to talk with you and for you to take a look at my overall financial situation is to tell me how am I doing compared to everybody else. Bad thing to look at. Trying to figure out how you're doing compared to everybody else? I don't know. Well, I kind of know based upon the range of the people that I see in my office, but is that the best demographic of what the world is, of what our community is, of what the nation is? No. Everybody is different. Let me ask you this. Could you survive on $3,000 in take-home pay a month? Now, some of you will absolutely shake your head and say, no way could I do that. And other people go, I'm doing it right now. Now, if I said, could you survive on $10,000 a month? More people might say, well, sure, I could do that. Others will say, are you kidding me? Not even close. We have clients that need $30,000 a month to cover their expenses, and they still need to take more than the $30,000 a month. Now, I will tell you in my office, what's the average? People want to know what's the average. Well, when you're in retirement, at least in my office, for the people that we see, the average person spends somewhere between $6,000 and $10,000 a month. That's what the average person is spending. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean we're sending them $6,000 to $10,000 a month. That's because they might be receiving Social Security of $2,000 or $3,000 or $4,000 a month, especially if you're married. And so the difference is being picked up from distributions from their investment accounts, or perhaps they're even working a small part-time job. But $6,000 to $10,000, that seems to be the number these days that is giving people many people a satisfactory life in retirement. Don't get me wrong, there's plenty of people that need much more than that. And there's plenty of people that survive on far less than that. But the people that we're seeing, generally, it's 6 to 10 or more. 6 to 10 or more. So just kind of put that into your scope. If you're sitting down and you're thinking to yourself, man, I need a second opinion. It's time for me to understand my overall situation. I want someone to really take a look at everything in my financial life. You know, when we talk about looking at everything in your financial life, what are we talking about? I'm not just talking about your investment allocation. Yes, that's important. But I also want to talk about where everything else is. What kind of homeowners and automobile insurance coverage do you have? Do you have life insurance? What are the withholdings on your pay stub? Are you getting a big refund at the end of the year? Are you doing your taxes properly? What kind of debt situation are you in? How many people do you gift money to, or how many of you are counting on money that's gifted to you? What does the registration and the ownership of your accounts look like so that if something were to happen to you, would it move in the way that you expected? Are your estate planning documents in place? Do you have a healthcare proxy? Do you have a power of attorney? Do you have a will? Do you need a trust? Lots of questions to ask. Those are the questions we're going to ask, we're going to understand them, and try to give you guidance so that understanding the big picture will allow you to feel comfortable about your financial future. That's what financial planning is all about. Yeah, there's investments of money and all that kind of stuff, but that's just a slice in the overall pie. I want to make sure that the relationship that you're having with an investment advisor goes far beyond that. And if it's not, you need to be working with a certified financial planner, somebody who will look you in the eye, not over the phone, not electronically, not through some social media network, and look at your overall situation, give you the advice you need so you can make smart decisions. That's called financial advice in a language you can understand. And we do it here each and every Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Uh-huh.
Just got paid.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial in Peabody. For more than 50 years, Friedman Financial has provided financial advice in a language you can understand to individuals and families all throughout the North Shore. At Friedman Financial, we know that planning for your retirement is overwhelming. Don't leave this important decision to chance, or even worse, the algorithms of a faceless technology solution. Our certified financial planner professionals meet with you face-to-face to know you and your retirement goals. If now's the time to get serious about your retirement, meet with a certified financial planner at Friedman Financial in person. You deserve a strategy that incorporates every aspect of your retirement plan. To learn more, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit us at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, just above Alto Forno Restaurant on 41 Cross Street. and across the street from the North Shore Mall. We have been around the elbow of the mall in a few different office locations for a long time, 50-plus years. My father started our firm in 1968. I joined the firm in 1991. I became a partner in the firm in, maybe it was 2098, something like that. Marion Gilman, who's been with me for 20 years, joined us in 2000. And Marion became a partner about 10 years ago. So it is Marion and I as the partners of the firm. My dad retired in 2007. And things are going great. Things are going fabulous. We have a team of five altogether. If you're curious, if you like this show, and let's say you're listening and you know somebody that is a financial advisor or is an aspiring financial advisor. They've been working with a firm for a couple of years and they just can't get the engine going. They need to be part of something different. Just so you know, we have a job opening. It's on LinkedIn. It is on Indeed. You can certainly check out our website, freedmanfinancial.com, and look under careers. We are looking to hire a financial advisor. I do want to find somebody who has a couple of years experience. You don't need to have 10 or 15 years experience, just a couple of years experience. I want you to be licensed, and I'd like you to at least either have or be enrolled in the CFP program. If you're there, we've got a great opportunity for you. We're a growing firm. Look, many of the folks that listen to this radio show call us all the time, and because of our size, because of what's going on at the office, we can't take on everybody. We have to be selective too. But if we have another person in the office, we can take on more business too. I want to help you out. I know you want to be helped. I know you want to get the right financial planning experience that you deserve. Because one of the things that I learned a long time ago is it's easy to get courted by a financial representative who wants you to become a client of the firm. That's easy. You hear a story, you feel good about it. You go, oh, we'll give it a shot. We'll do this. Well, maybe we'll sign on with you. My question is what does that relationship look like in year 4 or year 7 or year 11? What is the advisor doing to make the relationship fresh, to keep the review that you have with them appropriate and in line with your goals? And not something where every time you hear from them, you feel like, oh my goodness, I got to go see him and I know I'm going to get stuck buying something again when I go there. It's got to be different. So one of the things that I thought I'd share with you is our review process. On our website, on Friedman Financial, we have this thing called Getting to Know Friedman Financial. Getting to Know Friedman Financial is a slideshow. It's an easy slideshow to follow that gives you a sense as to who we are, how we work, what would happen if you were to come into the office. But in the middle of it, it talks about what would happen in a client review. And I think that is critical because, you know, everybody sells you on what we can offer to you today. But what are you going to deliver to me 3 years, 5 years, 10 years down the road? Well, you see, every time we plan a review with our existing clients, and what happens if you're a client of ours, you get a notice from us at least once a year where Jody, my assistant, will reach out and call you and say, hey, it's been a year since we've got together. And maybe we want to get together sooner. We can do that too. But it's been at least a year since we've been together. We'd like to schedule your review. And so you'll schedule an appointment. And usually Jody schedules it 2 weeks out from when she's calling. That's because we update your records to reflect what we believe is your net worth. When we work with you every year, we endeavor to build a net worth of your entire financial situation. Of course, we know where the money is that you have with us, but you've shared with us the fact that you might have money in a 401k plan, money at the bank, the value of your house, a mortgage that you might have, a student loan, whatever those things might be. And we structure it in our net worth statement. So in preparation for our review meeting, we're going to refresh that net worth statement. We're going to send it off to you. And we're going to say, hey, take a look at this net worth statement. Have things changed? And sometimes they do. In fact, for certain, your 401k account is generally larger because you've been adding money all year long. Your 403b might be larger. Maybe the money in the bank has gone down a bit. You never know. So you bring in that net worth statement for our review. So the two things that happen there, first of all, we revisit. We say, okay, let's be sure we're clear on the goals that you said. You want to retire at age 67. You hope to spend between $8,000 to $9,000 a month. You're looking to buy a place in Florida. You're looking to purchase another. Whatever those goals were, we're going to revisit to say, are those still in line? Is your daughter still getting married in 2021? Do you have a graduation expected this year with your son from high school? We have all those things tracked. But then we look at your net worth statement. And we say, well, when we compare your net worth statement from last year to this year, I see your 401k has grown, your investment accounts with us have grown, the value of your house is up, but your bank account is down. Why might that be? Well, there's generally a reason for it. Maybe you had a big expense that came up. Maybe you owed somebody some money. Maybe it's telling me that you're not spending within your means anymore. Maybe you're having money that comes into the house, but you're spending more than what's coming into the house and you're having to dip into your savings. Or perhaps your bank account has grown tremendously, which means that you have enough money coming into the house and you're building up all this money in cash and it's earning nothing and you don't need the money. We can talk about that. So we review your goals. We share your progress, showing you here's where you were last year. Here's what your investment accounts looked like. Here's what your net worth account looked like last year. And here's the progress that you've made. One of the favorite things people like to do in my office is they love for me to pull up the net worth statement from 5 years, 10 years, and 15 years ago. You want to feel good about yourself. You want to not worry about what's going on in the day-to-day fluctuations of the market. You take a look at what your goals were 15 years ago, what your net worth statement looks like 15 years ago to compare to what it is today, man, you're going to feel pretty good about yourself because you'll find that it's not just about the growth of your investment account. Your house is worth more. You've saved more money in your 401k. You've accumulated more dollars. You were able to put your kids through college, perhaps. Maybe some of those big expenses are behind you now and you have new goals and new things to talk about. That's part of what we talk about in the review process. We're also going to re-examine your spending needs to make sure that you said you were going to spend around $8,000 a month. Is that really what you've been spending? Are we accurately reflecting that? Because when we start planning for retirement, or even if you're in retirement, we want to make sure that our targeted projections, our outline, the pictures that we draw for you, the graphics, that they're accurately reflective of where you stand today, not what we thought you might be 4 or 5 years ago. We need to refresh that. I find oftentimes that that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen in other relationships. It's mostly focused on, well, this fund didn't do too well. We got to sell this fund. Or maybe you should take a look at this investment. Or this trend is happening. Or have you heard of this thing called ESG, environmentally friendly investments? Maybe you should look at that. Or alternative investments. No. That doesn't matter. That goes back to the waves in the water. We got to look towards the horizon. We got to look way out there towards the future to make sure that you're still on that path. We're going to ask a lot of questions. And you can see it visually through the software that we use. Because when we have all of the right information in, we can illustrate it properly to you. And then you can say to us, you know, now that I'm looking at this, what if I retired 2 years earlier? We can play that scenario. Or what if I worked a couple years longer? Or what if I waited until I took my Social Security? Or what if I retired at age 68, but I still made $28,000, $35,000 doing something else? What if I wanted to give $10,000 a year to each of my children? What if I wanted to plan a retirement trip that was going to cost $50,000? Or what if I wanted to spend $20,000 for the next 10 years for vacations? What if I wanted to buy a car? What if I want to move to Florida? What if I want to sell my house and have a place in New Hampshire and a place down in Texas? All of those what-if scenarios, we can run right in front of you and you can imagine, you can see what this looks like, all within the scope of your personal situation, not what the big models suggest. We use your stuff, your money, your experiences, your goals. That's what's important. You need to feel good about your financial future. Guessing on this one isn't going to work, but also know that a financial plan is not rigid. It needs tweaking along the way. So a financial plan that you might have looked at 3 years, 5 years, 10 years ago probably is not reflective of what your plan is today. But a planner, a certified financial planner, knows that, and they make the adjustments because they know where everything is and what everything is worth. Another thing that we look at when we do a review is I'll look at your tax return. Did you get a big refund this year? Did you owe a lot of money? Something that you might be interested in knowing is that, you know, that form that you get from the W, I always get the number wrong, the W-4 form. When you apply, when you start a first job, they give you that W-4 form that says the withholdings, and you said, well, I want to do married to. Remember that expression, married to, or what exemptions? Did you know that that doesn't exist anymore? There is no such thing as exemptions. There is no such thing as married or single to or anything like that. There's now a worksheet that you can go through so that you can have the proper taxes withheld based upon the IRS knowing about your last year's tax information. If you go to the IRS website, there's a very thoughtful, very easy to complete little questionnaire that will help you understand what the withholding should be on your paycheck every pay period. It's not about married one, not about single zero, or adding extra or taking out less. It's actually figured out for you, because the IRS realized that many people were surprised last year with the amount of money that they had to pay, when in fact they were told that we just had a tax cut. And it's because the withholdings weren't adjusted to reflect the tax cut. Well, the withholdings were, I should say, the withholdings were adjusted. You just didn't adjust it yourself, and you ended up owing more money. Let's do this right. The IRS, believe it or not, the government, has made something easier for you. If you'd like that, the link to that, all you need to do is go to the IRS website, that's irs.gov, and look for the new W-4 form for 2020. W-4 form for 2020. It's really easy to go through. I did it myself, actually, a couple days ago. And all you need to have is have your last year's tax return in front of you and have your current, most recent pay stub. That's all you need. And if both you and your wife work, of course, or you and your spouse work, have both of those pay stubs there. That's important. So another thing that we do in our office is we'll help you with advice on some major purchase decisions. We're talking about what goes on in a review process at Friedman Financial. Because oftentimes people think, oh, they go in for a review, they're going to talk about the complexity of their account. How did the account do this year? How much money did I add? How much money did I take out? What's it doing today? Yes, we will cover all that. But that's only like 5 minutes of the conversation. Let's talk about the big picture stuff. Maybe you want to buy a new car. Maybe you want to move to a retirement community. Maybe you're having to take care of an aging parent. Or maybe you're trying to help one of your children deal with a tough situation that they're in. How do you handle those major purchases? These days, we find more and more people coming to us asking how they can pay for family experiences. They're in their 70s and they're thinking, you know, I'd love to figure out a way to take the kids and the grandkids, all of us, away for one big vacation. I'll pay for the whole thing, but I need to know how much is it going to cost? How would I pay for it? How would I do it? And how do I communicate it to the kids? Because you can't just say, as a 75-year-old, saying, well, let's see, it's January something, January 10th, January 12th today. Let's plan for a vacation on June 1st. I'm sure everybody can go. No, it's not that easy. Your kids have schedules. The grandkids have schedules. Maybe you're looking at something in 2022. You give everybody a heads up to say, hey, put in for this vacation time. Here's what's coming. And you plan it appropriately. Planning for experiences is something that retirees are looking to do more and more, and we're giving guidance on how to do that. All of these things are what I call items that fall into a category of financial advice in a language you can understand. We try not to make things too difficult at Friedman Financial. We just want you to feel good in knowing that there is somebody at our office, somebody that you can talk to at any time, that will give you the advice that you need and respond in a language you can understand. And it doesn't have to be about, why did my investment go up or down today? Maybe it's, what can you explain to me this letter I got from my credit card company? Can you explain what I got from the IRS? Can you explain my life insurance? Can you explain the withholdings of my pay stub? My son or daughter needs some advice. Mark, can you help us? Yeah, we do all that stuff. And we do some of that in the office. We do it in the office every day, but we do it here each and every Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m. We've got to get out of here. It's the end of our show today. We're going to turn it over to Scott Whitley and Wicked Bites Radio. I think this week, in fact, I think I saw that Scott is talking about chicken wings. I think that's what he's looking for. Where can you get the best wings around in the area? If you've got an idea, let him know. We got to get out of here. My phone number at the office, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. We're out. You've been listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
Our show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.